Hi folks, welcome back to another episode of Talk Sex with Sugar. And as you know, every episode has been a hit, back to back. And this one is not about to be an exception. So get comfortable, get your snacks, get your drinks. You know, make sure you're very comfortable because you're about to get in for the ride of your life. Hi folks, welcome back to another episode of Talk Sex with Sugar. And today's episode is a solo one, meaning that you have me all to yourself. So I'm doing a solo episode because I want to talk about something which is like super, super important. And I felt like it would be important because other podcast episodes that I'm going to be publishing are going to be built based off of this solo episode, and that's why I wanted to do this myself, do sort of like an introduction into the topic before we start to have guests on that. And I know that a lot of you that know me know that I am a certified holistic sexuality educator and a pleasure coach. I got trained by the Institute of Sexuality Education and Enlightenment, which is one of the ASECT certified providers. So ASECT is the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. So yes, I am a certified holistic sexuality educator. And my focus basically has been on female pleasure, you know, women's pleasure, more specifically Black women's pleasure, because I identify as a Black woman, and most of my experiences and most of my advocacy basically is based off my experience growing up in Nigeria, seeing what the landscape has been like, the society has been like in terms of female sexual pleasure, the way it is perceived culturally, the way it is perceived religiously, and the way it is perceived in the society, like an in-depth expose into female sexual pleasure. And for those who may know it and for those who may not know it, you're welcome. So yes, growing up, I mean, the way I perceived female sexual pleasure, it wasn't something that was talked about in terms of when we consider it in relation to like men. Men's pleasure was more of an open conversation, like a normal thing that, oh, you hear it every time. It is not something that you have to think about the amount of times you heard it. Most of us heard it almost every day. You know, things like, oh, take care of your husband well, give your husband well, make sure he's satisfied. If he's not satisfied, he will go outside. Even in the church, I mean, I have been in church services where even women would say things like, if you are not satisfying your husband well, he's going to go outside. And there was hardly anything on, if you don't satisfy your wife well, she's going to go outside. Which used to irk me a lot, because I'm like, why is so much attention placed on men and what they want and how you need to satisfy them? And there was basically nothing on women and how to satisfy women. Knowledge of women's bodies and orgasms was basically sometime when I think I was around 7 years when I read the book. I was just a very inquisitive child. And so I remember that I saw the book with my mom. And when I asked, I was like, oh, what's that book? And then she kept it. Like, oh, no, it's not for children. I went to look for that book and I read it. And that sort of like formed the foundation for me and what all that I do today. Because the book is Every Woman. And I remember reading that book. The book basically talked about woman's life course. I mean, the changes that occur in her body from when she's born, puberty, pregnancy, menstruation, female sexual pleasure, sex and sexuality. And it was fascinating for me, like, oh my God. And that was sort of like the foundation for me to learning about women's pleasure, literature. Sexual pleasure basically is a series of, positive body sensations, thoughts, and feelings that are basically associated with solo and partnered sexual activities. This definition was given by some researchers, Goldley, from their article in 2016, and another one from Ryan Meany in 2007. Most times when we talk about sexual pleasure, we always orgasm is usually the one that takes the forefront. Because orgasm is, an intense form of sexual pleasure. It's like it is seen as the climax. Frith talked about this in 2015, and Levin also supported this, claim that it's the climax of sexual excitement in their article in 2007. And basically, for people who may not know what an orgasm is like, it's like a reflex, that is like a very strong reflex that is visible through physical changes in brain activity, hormone release, genital blood flow, contraction of the pelvic floor, and genital muscles. And this definition was by Hartman in 2018. So literature has said that, orgasm is like the climax of sexual excitement, which is true. But a lot of times I like to tell my clients that orgasms are not the sole goal of sexual intercourse or sexual relations or sexual activities. Orgasms is just like one part of it, which is like pleasure is the overall goal of any sexual activity. And because I do not like people putting too much pressure on themselves to orgasm and forget to actually enjoy the process itself. Men's pleasure is always prioritized, your husband's needs are paramount. And then it brings me back to the question, what happens to female sexual pleasure? Like, what happens to women's needs? Most of these things are usually culturally influenced. But then I think about the fact that has the African culture really been averse towards sex and pleasure? No, because I did quite a little bit of digging into the history of Africans, pre-colonial times, the history of Africans and sexual pleasure. And I realized that what we have now is not what we used to have. I mean, Africa was a place where, pleasure and sexuality, in fact, female sexuality was celebrated, was highly valued. You would see societies where, for example, in Uganda, there was this thing called the Sesenga, where they were basically paternal aunties in an ancient kingdom. I think it's the Baganda Kingdom, where their basic work was initiates young girls, gearing up for marriage, teach them concepts and acts of sexuality, without any form of shame, guilt, ridicule, or condemnation. And IPPF, basically International Planned Parenthood Federation, talks about this in one of their opinion pieces on their website, where they go into detail on the different. From the research I did, I realized that most of the changes, the drastic changes that Africa suffered in terms of like sexuality was started around the time that the colonizers came, because they came and felt like, oh, why are you talking about pleasure? This is loose. This is wild. This human being shouldn't be like this. Basically, colonizers brought religion, and they were able to redefine the concept of African sexuality by basically inculcate guilt into the sex positive African culture. So they don't talk about sex and sexuality anymore, or pleasure. In the Sesenga tradition, female sexual pleasure was so prioritized that it was grounds for divorce if a man did not pleasure his wife. It was grounds for divorce. It was that big of a deal. So how did we move from there to now the point where only men's sexual pleasure is prioritized? As a pleasure coach, I have made sure that most of my work is in line with evidence-based research on how to basically promote sexual pleasure in women, strategies that have been suggested by feminist scholars in literature. For example, things like media representation of women's sexualities. I do a lot of this on my social media pages. Accurate sex education materials. I have a book, a female pleasure workbook, where I talk about where I teach women, you know, how to the concept of pleasure and how they can work towards it. Talking a lot about the clitoris and its function in the place of sexual pleasure, and creating safe spaces for women to talk about these things, providing opportunities for women to ask questions and get answers, you know, questions about sexuality and pleasure, you know, these really pretty much important things that normalize conversation around pleasure and destigmatize female sexual pleasure. The point is trying to give women back the power to own sexual pleasure. For example, having this podcast is also one of the evidence-based strategies that I'm using to promote female sexual pleasure and the likes. I mean, I could go on and on about talking about female sexual pleasure, but just like I said, this is just a foundation because it was important that we have an idea of what female sexual pleasure is, where we are coming from, what we are currently doing, and what is to come in the near future. Stay tuned for subsequent episodes. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Bye. Hi, folks. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and I'm very sure that you enjoyed. Scratch that. I know that you enjoyed this episode. Please watch out for subsequent episodes, and please do not forget to subscribe and also share the link with your friends and networks. Bye. See you next time.